Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, on OBS. Connect stream and software.
Yeah. and the type of king that Yahweh wants you to see. And if you're a king, the type of king you will be, he will want you to be. And this is what you're going to find. Whether you're a king, which is the highest position on the earth in terms of man, or the lowest position, there's a certain way that Yahweh will have you to be. Just show you something in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, where we will start the 16th verse. Today is on the king. But all week long, we will deal with the various leaders of our people. Because today, our communities, our houses, in the state of the condition of our people, is in total ruins. And this is why. Watch what this says. The 16th verse. So we'll start at the 14th verse. So let's start at the 13th verse. Watch what it says, because maybe you can understand it. Isaiah 9 and 13. For the people turn not unto him that smites them, neither do they seek Yahweh of hosts. In other words, they're not seeking the Most High, nor are they turning to him that smites them. They blame all their problems on someone else. Therefore, Yahweh will cut off from Israel, head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head. And you have to search this out. What do you mean by the ancient and honorable? He is the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So you want to know who before you, standing before you, teaching you things. Is it the one that's teaching you, or is it the one that is demonstrating to you honorable things? But this is the conclusion of the whole matter. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led by them are destroyed. In other words, the mass majority of the leaders refuse to acknowledge individually. They may acknowledge publicly that the leaders caused the people to err, but their conduct, their behavior, their words don't sound like they err at all. But the scriptures is an indictment against the leaders. And if the leaders are causing you to err, what are they doing that's making our communities, that's causing our families, that's causing the people not to be the people that Yahweh said shall be his glory? Little do people know it don't start from bottom up. Success, progress is from top down. You got a head for a reason. A head is higher in your feet. And which one is most important? The head or the feet? And if you want to see what the head is supposed to look at, then that's what we're going to do. In the first one that we will look at is the king. Watch this. In the book of Hosea, the third chapter. And this is a prophecy. And what are we speaking about? That we will show, that we will demonstrate that our problems is and have always been our leaders. In other words, you hear about how rebellious the people are, but little do people know the rebellious people typically come from bad leadership. And I want you to see this. First, with the king. Now, this is a prophecy. And watch this prophecy in the book of Hosea, the third chapter, starting at the fourth verse. It says, for the children of Israel shall abide, shall dwell many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, and without an image, without an ephod, and without a terebinth. In other words, we're going to abide without the things that denote us as a people. We're going to abide and dwell many days without our leadership that can go out before us to determine what type of people we really are. And watch the fifth verse. Afterwards, after we abide many days without this, shall the children of Israel return. Return where? Unto the Most High. And when we return to the Most High, it says, afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, and shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. And how? And this is the thing you have to ask yourself. In seeking Yahweh, and I think people can understand if you seek Yahweh around you, how would that cause us to fear him and his goodness in the last days? But seeking David, it also says we shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the last days. So how is it that we will see David, our king, and then we will begin to fear Yahweh and his goodness in the last days? Well, the Lord do people know. The Creator said he will magnify the law and make it honorable. Why you have many who will look for David. The word seek means to search out and look for. They will look for this David. But really what they're looking for is a man. But the Almighty is not really asking you and directing you to look for a man at all. He's instructing you in telling you to look for a certain type of man. So to seek David, the king, our king, you will have to know him, but know him in a way where you will seek him. See, once you found something, then you have it. Oh, I got it now. And there are those who seek in David, but they don't even understand what a king is. They don't understand how their heart should be. They don't understand how they should conduct themselves and behave themselves and how they should lead a flock. And this is why the leaders call the people to error. Because if you sought David, as the scriptures say, then you would know how to lead. You would know how to direct yourself. You would know how to behave and deal in matters of righteousness. For example, watch this law. We're talking about the king. Watch this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. This is the law for a king. Now, we have people going around and say they're king. They say it in a they say it as a metaphor. But still, they don't act like a king. And it's only one type of king that the Almighty accepts. Watch this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. And we're going to start reading that in 14th verse. When you have come into the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over you, like as all the nations that are about me. So this is the first thing. When you have this desire to set someone over you, watch how the Creator deals with this matter. 15th verse. You shall in any wise set a king over you, whom Yahweh, your Elohim, shall choose. So we only set the people up whom Yahweh chooses. Then watch what it says. One from among your brethren shall you set king over you. You may not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. And that's the law. So one of your kinfolk. 16th verse, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. And a lot of people think this means back to ancient Egypt. No, he don't want the people to return to bondage, period. In other words, Yahweh never wanted us to be bondmaids and bondmen. He never wanted anyone to take ownership over us. And why? Because we are his servants. And oftentimes people want to take ownership over you. No, you Yahweh's servant. You've already been, it's already been declared what you are. Watch what it says. To the end that he should multiply horses. Because what, you only can ride one horse at a time, King. So what do you need all these horses for? Is it so people can do your bidding, and they can ride out and do your work? For as much as Yahweh has said to you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. And why, Yahweh, why can't a king get a bunch of wives that his heart turned not away? In other words, Yahweh is already letting you know that this type of conduct and behavior can turn your heart. And Yahweh knows what he's talking about. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. Why? Because at the end of the day, that's where your heart is going to lie. It's going to lie right with your money, right with your riches, right with your wealth. So Yahweh, he wanted your whole heart. And anything that can take your heart away from him, anything that can distract you from the way and what Yah wanted you to do and what Yahweh wanted you to be, Yahweh didn't want you to get yourself caught up in these things. And this is the key. Watch what it says. So, if you don't do that, Yahweh, what shall you do? 18 verse. And it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him. In other words, he keep it with him. He shall read therein all the days of his life, always reading, that he may learn to fear Yahweh his Elohim. Now, what's he going to learn? To keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So, in other words, he's writing the law, he's reading the law, he's all about the law, because this is the only way he's going to learn to fear. It's not the only way, but this is the way Yahweh instructed him to fear him. Now watch the 20th verse. Because not only are you going to learn to fear the Most High, but watch this, 20th verse, that his heart is not lifted up above his brother, and that he turns not aside from the command to the right, to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So in other words, Yahweh will give us the various prescriptions, the various instructions that we need, even if we was a king. And just imagine if you weren't a king. You can't write the law. You can't read the law. You can't read it all the days of your life and study it. And why would you do that? To prolong your day. And why would you do that? That your heart is not lifted up above your brother. In other words, this is the king. And even though the king is the highest position, even on earth, in terms of man, but his heart is not above, or should not be above, his brother. He still no better than his brother. He's just a king. He just have a job to do, but he's still a man. And the Almighty wanted him to know he's just a man, even though he got a certain type of position. And this is the law. And this is why the leaders called the people to err, because the leaders have a heart that is lifted above their brother. They think because they have a certain position that people are to bow before them, stand before them, be subject to them, supposed to just act a certain way before them because they're the king. And we're going to talk about all the other positions, and you're going to find out. I don't care what position you have. Once you understand these positions, you would understand these positions is not to lift you up anyway. It was to bring you down. Your exaltation in a position was not to exalt your heart, spirit, and mind. And this, what we have done in Babylon. Soon as you become a supervisor, the next thing you know, you can tell people what to do, and the next thing you know, your heart is lifted up. Not realizing this is a total abomination to Yahweh. You're supposed to bow before me. Well, if they're supposed to bow before you, then that's from Yahweh. But you can't make, that ain't your word, that ain't your commandment, that ain't your law, whether they do or don't. And if they don't, they're sinning against Yah, they're not sinning against you. So the leaders have utterly been thinking backwards. Watch this. Show you how backwards leaders have become today. In the book of Ezekiel 34, And we're talking about King. And who's higher than King? Other than Yahweh. In the book of Ezekiel 34. The very first verse. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says Yahweh to the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? In other words, most leaders and rulers, they don't want to be fed. But the Almighty said this is backwards. The sheep don't supposed to feed the shepherds. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? So this is total backwards. We got this all wrong. We want the people to be humble. Well, we are the ones supposed to be humble. And why? Because even if the people are humble, we're not to follow them. The people is supposed to follow the leaders. We're not to take our cues from the flock. The flock is supposed to take their cues from the shepherds. Watch what it says at the third verse. You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You give them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. In other words, in all kind of manners you rule them, whatever it takes to get them to feed you, whether it's your ego, whether it's your pride, whether it's your own selfish desires, you rule with force and cruelty. And look what happened when you do so. The fifth verse. And they were scattered. Because there was no shepherd. Because that's not a shepherd anyway. There's only one type of shepherd. And that one type of shepherd is one that feeds the flock. That leads the flock. That cater to the flock. And the catering he does to the flock is from the Most High. Not his own little imagination of the own heart, but according to the word of Yahweh. Watch what it says. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And now, anybody, if they want sheep, if they want lamb, if they want wool, if they want lamb chops, they can get it because there's no real shepherd. Matter of fact, when the sheep is scattered, when the flock is scattered, the shepherd blames the flock. Look at them just running away. Look at them just scattering. Look at them going here and there. They blame the flock. Rather than blaming himself. Sixth verse. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, says Yahweh. Surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds serve for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, regardless if you take responsibility or not. Yahweh holds you responsible. And cause them to cease from feeding the flocks. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus says Yahweh, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. And watch this, as a shepherd seeks out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. This is what made seeking David so peculiar and so special. Because while people looking for a man that you should be seeking, when you seek David, is a certain type of David that you yourself can become, especially if you're a leader. And all leaders are leaders in some type of way. In other words, the family is not to take care of the husband or the father. The husband and the father are supposed to take care of the family. In other words, the family is his flock. What sense does it make for him to feed himself and not his flock? Likewise with any other leader. This is why the scripture says the leaders cause the people to err, and those that are led are destroyed. And look how Yahweh said he will straighten out this mind in the 20th verse. Therefore, thus says Yahweh to me, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, push all the disease with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and why one? And he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their own leader, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken. And that's what we'll be talking about next, is the prince. But as we can see, the king is a shepherd. The king is a leader. And a king is the shepherd over Yahweh's flock. His responsibility is to take care of you and not the other way around. And leaders think differently today, because they think they are the ones who are supposed to be looked out for. They are the ones that are supposed to be taken care of. They are the ones who people are supposed to bow to them and sing songs to them. The only reason you sing people sing songs to David, the only reason you sing people bow to David, the only reason you sing people shout for joy for David, who was a king, is because what is written in the book of Proverbs 29. And if you turn it, you will see what made this king so popular. And watch what it says in the book of Proverbs 29. I'm sorry. This is what it says. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, in other words, they rule, the people rejoice. Of course they're going to rejoice, because the righteous is going to do a lot of good things. They're going to have a lot of things to rejoice over. And what is the greatest thing you can rejoice in? The Most High. So if they're following the ways of the Most High, there's going to be a lot of rejoicing. But when the wicked bear rule, the people vote. And why? What you going to rejoice over? You can't rejoice in the Most High, because you, all you see in your life is something ruined, something bad, something to mourn about, something to be unhappy about, something that you cannot and would not and don't want to declare. How can you talk about righteousness when everything around you is ruined? And when the wicked bear ruined, there's a lot of ruin. And a lot of things to mourn about. So how do Yahweh see a king? The highest position that one can obtain. Well, he sees this position as one that will serve the people. Yes, according to his words. In his words, you're not to rule over our people in no kind of rigorous or hard way. And I'll show you that. But watch this. In the book of First Chronicles, since the scriptures told us to seek David. Well, let's see the words of David. We've seen the type of shepherd that the Almighty said we will have. We see, according to the book of Hosea, the third chapter, Stephen and Ezekiel. We see, according to the law in Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, that he's supposed to read the law and write a copy of it all the days of his life, just so he can understand how to fear Yahweh. And to fear Yahweh, his heart is not to be lifted up above his brother. I'm the king. Bow before me. I'm the king. Obey me. I'm the king. Such and such and such. No, this is not the attitude that Yahweh desires in someone that will rule, especially his own servant. In the book of 1 Chronicles 28, and why is this so important? Because I get a lot of questions from people about how can I be a better person? How can I be the best that I can be? How can I do such and such and such? I tell people the destination of anybody should be salvation, to live forever. That should be your destination. In other words, your destination should not be just to be delivered. No, your destination should be salvation. That's number one. And then number two, your, as we started off saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. So to become better in your greatest being, in yourself, what Yahweh desire to see in you. But how can you do that if you're not following the example and his instruments that Yahweh said before you? And let me tell you how total backwards it would be if you're looking down to see the lowest positions, the lowest people, the lowest on the total pole, rather than looking up. The examples that Yahweh had for us, people are the greatest people on earth. One is the king, whom Yahweh said, this is a man after my own heart. Watch this in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. And as I said before, this is David's own words, whom Yahweh told us to see. It says, First Chronicles 28, the 6th verse. And he said to me, Solomon your son, he shall build my house, my courts, for I've chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he is confident to do my command and my judgments, as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahweh, and in the audience of Elohim, keep and seek for all the commandments of Yahweh, Elohim, that you may possess this good land, leave it for inheritance for your children after you forever. And watch this ninth verse. Watch the words of David to his son. In other words, if a picture is worth a thousand words, watch the picture that he was to his son, and not the other way around. In other words, you don't look at your son and learn from him and follow him. Your son is supposed to look at you and follow you. And you, Solomon, my son, know you, the Elohim of your father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Yahweh searches all hearts and understands all the imagination of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So what was David saying? David was saying exactly what he did. He had a perfect heart towards the Most High. And even though he had wise, great riches, make no mistake about it, most of what David had was given to him. His wise, his riches, David never set his heart on these things because it was given to him. He didn't seek after these things. He didn't make these things. In other words, David didn't have a bunch of servants around him. He went and picked. Okay, you're going to serve me, you're going to serve me, you're going to serve me. This is not how he operated by no stretch of the imagination. Because he had a perfect heart. And this is what he demonstrated to his son. And this also was his word to his son. Watch in 1 Chronicles 29 to show you how he demonstrated these things. 1 Chronicles 29. Well, what do all this mean? This is the king. But the scriptures say the leaders called the people to answer. And how do we know this is true? Because today, the leaders want to be favored. They want to be treated a certain type of way. They want people to stand up to them and bow to them and serve them. No, the king served the people. He fed the people. He looked out for the people, not the other way around. This was his responsibility. And you're going to see, this is the responsibility of all the rulers of our people. And why? Because the flock don't belong to them anyway. It belongs to the Most High. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? In the book of 1 Chronicles 29, watch what it says. The 9th verse, 29:9. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly. Nobody forced them to offer anything. They weren't tricked to offer anything. They weren't bamboozled to offer anything. They weren't made feel, nobody made them feel bad to offer anything. They offered willingly because with perfect heart, they offer willingly to Yahweh. When your heart is perfect, nobody has to trick you, make you feel bad, shame you. No, this is just your will. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And how did he rejoice with great joy? Therefore, David blessed Yahweh before all the congregation. And David said, blessed are you, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted as head above all. So who the head? Yahweh, both riches and honor come from you, and you shall reign over all. And in your name is power and might. And in your name it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our Lord, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sword? For all things come from you. And of your own have we given you. In other words, everything we got belongs to you anyway. And we're giving you your own stuff back. And people don't even want to do that. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no hope. O Yahweh Elohim, our Elohim, all this store, everything we got, that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name, comes from your hand and is all your own. What is he saying? What sense does it make for me to exalt myself over anything that I got? It belongs to Yahweh anyway. I look like a fool exalting my, look at my jewelry, look at my clothes, look at my house, look at my car, look how blessed I am, look at this, and look at that. This stuff don't belong to me anyway. That's why the scriptures tell you, Yahweh give it, and Yahweh take it. Why? Because it all belongs to him anyway. Watch the 17th verse, though. This is the verse I want you to try to understand. I know also, my own, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. In other words, I'm not giving you these things, Yahweh, because I'm so blessed. I'm giving you these things. No, I'm only giving these things because you, Yahweh, have pleasure in uprightness, pleasure in righteousness. And I know you're trying my heart to see what I'm going to do, to see how I'm going to act, to see how I'm going to behave, to see how I'm going to take possession of something that don't belong to me. No. I'm offering willingly these things. Watch what he said. And now have I seen with joy your people, which are present here, to offer willingly to you. And why would they offer willingly? Because, first of all, they know they offering to the Most High and not to some king. And how do they know that? Because the king himself is offering to the Most High. In other words, he's leading by example. He's doing the things that he's teaching and leading the people to do. So now there's value in the one and the only one that has value. And that's the Most High. This is why a picture is worth a thousand words. Because once you see the right picture, and David is the right picture, but if you're just looking for a man, when it says to see David, and you're just looking for, no. You want to see the man who can lead you to Yahweh. The instrument, the example of the very thing Yahweh loves. The very thing Yahweh takes pleasure in. The very thing Yahweh delights in. And Yahweh does not delight in our people to rule our people in any kind of rigorous, hard, shameful kind of way at all. Just the last two verses in this. O Yahweh, 18th verse. Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of your people. In other words, keep this same mind that they always be willing to prepare their heart unto you and give to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for which I made provision. I've already made provision. You don't have to do nothing but build. The people have offered willingly. I have offered willingly with the understanding of what our offerings really are. With the understanding, with the heart that I know what we are. We're nothing. There's no big I's and little U's. All of us have the same position. And what is that position? The servant of Yahweh. That's all we are. And as a servant of Yahweh, we want everybody to do willingly. You can't force anybody to do anything. I mean, I guess you can if you're very wicked. You can trick them. You can bamboozle them. You can slick them in some kind of way. But you got to let people be who they are, what they are. Yahweh know anyway. He know if people want to do this or not, be this or not. He knows. So you're not fooling Yahweh. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling them. But you're not fooling Yahweh, the king. This is what we're talking about. And we're going to deal with all the various positions of authority. And why? Because we don't supposed to be looking down. People are supposed to be looking up. You are supposed to be the example. You are supposed to be the leader. You are supposed to be the follower, the ruler. So therefore, is it not you who's supposed to show the people how to be upright? Other words of this great king in the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. 2 Samuel 23. How much time I have left? No. We start a little bit late.
About 10 minutes.
Watch what it says in the book of 2 Samuel 23. Now, we should be able to understand these words of David. Before, it seemed to be lofty words. But how can it be lofty words when this was his action? This was his walk. This is what he did. David didn't follow people. People followed David. Watch what it says. In the book of 2 Samuel 23, the very first verse. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Elohim of Yaakov, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the spirit of Yahweh spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. And what did he say? What did Yahweh say? And what did he instruct you that now you're able to tell us and now you're able to show us? The spirit of Yahweh spoke by me and his word was in my tongue. The Elohim of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He that rules over men must be just, ruling fear of Elohim. And what is the fear of Elohim? What is the fear of Yahweh? This should be a no-brainer by this time. Because the fear of Yah is wisdom. That's what the fear of Yahweh is. What is wisdom? The fear of Yahweh. That's what wisdom means. And that's how you rule. In this fear of Yahweh. And it shall be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And you want to see this, because this, again, is demonstrating a picture. Now imagine you had two pictures on the wall. And one picture is the light of the morning, when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, tender grass springing out of the earth by a clear shining after rain. And then you see another picture where it was stormy, raining, dark, cloudy. Which picture do you see yourself in? Which picture would you want to walk your life in? Which picture would you want to sit in, live in, be guided in? The one that's raining and cloudy and dark, or the other picture? And we know which picture you want to be in. It's not even a question. Well, that's the picture that a ruler is supposed to demonstrate. That's the picture that a ruler is supposed to create. That's the picture you should be drawing for others. But it's not the picture that others supposed to be drawing for you. Because you are the ruler. You are the leader. You are the king. And we have this picture all wrong. And we have this imagination totally backwards. You don't look down. The people is supposed to look up. No wonder the scriptures say the leaders cause the people to err. And those that are led of them are destroyed. And see, why is this picture so essential and necessary? Now, this is what you're going to find. It's a no-brainer that the king is supposed to be this way. And why? Because Yahweh is a king. And you think you want a king different than him being a king? No. Watch what Yahweh said concerning what he wants to see. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Well, make that 1 Samuel the 16th chapter. And watch what this is. 1 Samuel 16. The very first verse. And Yahweh said to Samuel, how long were you mourning for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your home with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, who will provide me a king among his servants. And Samuel said, how can I go? And Saul said, hear this, he will kill me. And how? Samuel the prophet. He feared Saul. And why? Because Saul was the king. He was the king. Watch what it says. And Yahweh said, take a heifer with you. And said, I've come to sacrifice to Yahweh. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint to me him whom I named to you. And Samuel did that which Yahweh spoke. And came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming. They said, come in peace, simply. And he said, peaceably, I've come to sacrifice unto Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves. And come with me to the sacrifice. And sanctify Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they had come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely Yahweh is going to live before him. And watch what Yahweh said. But Yahweh said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For Yahweh sees not as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks on the heart. In other words, everything we've been looking at, everything we've been seeing, is something that don't matter anyway. Because if you're not able to look on the heart, you don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what you're dealing with. You don't see what Yahweh sees. So therefore, how can you really judge? Because you're not seeing what Yahweh sees. You don't know why man, why woman doing what they do. You don't know what ails their heart. And you don't know what rejoices their heart. You don't know nothing about the heart. And Yahweh wants you to know about this heart, because this is something he judges. This is what he judges. In the last scripture that I want you to see is in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Because this is the bottom line. If you want to know how to become your better self, if you want to know the message of what Yahweh is trying to teach you and show you by the various instruments that he laid before you, the picture. If your destination is salvation, then you got to understand and truly commune with your own heart. In other words, if I can't understand my right heart, and I can't, then why would I waste my time trying to, when I myself have my own heart that I must commune with to become better, the best that it can be. And watch what it says in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And we're going to start at the 12th verse. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I've not made a supplication unto Yahweh. And I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. Well, that's not what the king's supposed to do. That's something the priest's supposed to do. That's something the prophet's supposed to do. And watch what Samuel said. 13th verse. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of Yahweh, which he commanded you. Nor for now would Yahweh have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now, your kingdom shall not continue. Yahweh, watch what this says now. Yahweh has sought him a man after his own heart. And Yahweh has commanded him to be captain over his people. Because you have not kept that which Yahweh commanded you. So while you try to get people to be their best, you're not being your best. While you want others to communicate with their heart, you're not communicating with your own heart. Because if you are, you will do it. As we're talking today about the king, should not the shepherd feed the flock and not themselves? So we as leaders must begin to change the way we think if we desire salvation, if we desire to be upright, if we desire to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And if we do what Yahweh says, seek him and seek David, that we might fear him and his goodness in the last days. And until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Strange.